All right, good morning to you. I was asking you to pray for the preacher a few minutes ago, and now I'm going to ask you to pray for me. I don't think there's anything in this world harder than to stand up here in the place of Dr. Carter. So that is harder. He said something the other night. I wanted to cry for him. He said something about the stress of having to get into this pulpit every Sunday for 40-something years. I don't know about you, but Dr. Carter's been my hero for a long time. But when he said that, I wanted to cry the other night. You know, it's very stressful for me to have to be here this morning to stand in front of all you and the radio and all and bring a lesson. And, of course, I'm fairly new at this, so I figured that's part of the program. But after all the years that he's done it, and yet he still says it's stressful, that just broke my heart. Because I just looked up to him kind of like Superman, you know? God has just blessed him tremendously. You know, he is an awesome preacher. He's an awesome pastor. And the knowledge is just never ending. I mean, he's just a blessing every time he speaks. So when he said that, you know, I think sometimes when we look at the other guy, it always looks easy, doesn't it? You know, but when it's put on you, it's a little tougher. And I know in my case it's hard. So anyhow, I ask you to pray for me this morning, because I always need your prayers when I'm up here. And I need your prayers all the time. Amen? You can pray for me every day. If you forget and don't have anybody to pray for me, okay? I need it. I need it all the time. All right, if you open your Bibles this morning to Job chapter 38, and while you're turning there, something came. I was watching the news last night, and I seen over in France terrible killings and shootings and bombings and whatnot taking place over there. And we have a college student here. Brother George is from France, and I know it lays heavy on his heart anytime we see, you know, our loved ones, friends, and fellow patriots gunned down the way they have been over there or anywhere else around the world for that matter. Last week in my class, the Life of Paul class, I asked my students to write a paper for me. I don't know about you, but when I turn the news on and I see this, I get angry. I mean, on the inside, on the flesh, I can solve the problem. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I was up in the White House, we'd solve it real quick. But then this come back to my heart. I asked my students to write a paper. We're studying the life of Paul. And I asked them to write a paper on how they felt or what they thought about Paul. And just a simple one-page paper. And I did that for a purpose, and when all of them finished writing, I asked them to read some of their papers. And every single one of them talked about Paul's past, of all the evil and the stuff that was in his life. And then every one of them elevated him up here. I mean, they had, you know, it was like God, Jesus, and Paul, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Paul's right there, buddy. I mean, he's up there, and rightly so. I mean, he's one of my heroes of the faith. So after they'd done that, I brought to their attention that Paul was a thug. And they all just kind of, you just see the life drain out of their face. But Paul was a thug. I mean, Paul could have been working for ISIS. I mean, he persecuted Christians. That's what he did. And my point to them was, because of that anger that comes to my heart, when I see that on the news, I get angry. I try to think of how I feel about Paul. Because we have to remember, as evil as they are, God created them. God made them, God loves them, and God can save them. Amen? And, what they've done is wrong, it's evil, it's wicked, and it needs to be condemned, it needs to be judged. They need to be punished for what they do. But at the same time, we need to remember that God can change every one of those lives. They just need to hear about Jesus. They've been raised in an evil way over there, in an evil religion. They just need to know Christ. So, When thinking about that, I just brought that up. That didn't cost you nothing, got nothing to do with a lesson. I just felt, when I seen the news this morning, the Lord just laid that burden on my heart. I just wanted to share it with you, okay? All right, life of Paul. Here we go. No. Job 38. What I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning is a little bit about the importance of our service to God and how that pertains to everything. I was asked by, I don't know, probably at least four different people throughout the week. And I think it's kind of strange how that happens, how one is not related to the other in any way. But I've had several different people ask me about music and whether or not it was good music, bad music. Is there music that we should or shouldn't listen to? And to be honest with you, it's a hard subject to really go through the Bible without taking a lot of time, so we can't cover all the bases on it this morning. I just have a few simple things that I wanted to go over that maybe to help those folks who's asked me about it. I'm definitely not an expert on it, but I do know a little bit about what some of the scriptures say. So I'm going to share that with you this morning and just pray that we get a little something out of it. And I believe it can be a help to all of us because it pertains to all of us. All right. So Job, I'm going to read Job 38. And basically, when we talk about music, we all have an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has their own opinion. We're all different. But regarding anything in life, what does Scripture say about it? Always go to Scriptures. Don't go by just what your opinion is. Look at Scriptures. So let's look at Job 38:4. It says, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now we can see here, according to this, that angels were singing as the world was being created. So obviously we can see here that music was long here, long before we were. God created music. They're singing as the world's created. Man hadn't shown up yet. So we know, therefore, music was part of our beginning. So it does have an importance to us in one way or another. And in Colossians 1:16, you can turn there. Well, I'll just read it to you. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him for him. So here we can see here that God created everything for himself. It was created by him for him. So therefore, music belongs to who? It belongs to God. And we say, well, I mean, let me give you an example of something. You know, if music belongs to God, we know that God is perfect in every way. So music is good. The problem begins with music when we get our hands on it.
Right.
Amazing Grace. I don't know about you. That's one of my favorite songs.
Right.
God's Amazing Grace. However, we can take Amazing Grace and put it in the hands of the wrong people, and it becomes evil. Because it's not just the words. It's the music that goes along with the words, correct?
Right.
So if we use the music wrong, therefore it becomes evil. It becomes wicked. Now, we can say that pretty much about any song that's out there. And, you know, some of the bad songs are the same way. We can change the music and put godly music to it and make it good. See, it's all about how we present the music. Amen?
Amen.
God even demonstrates his love for us in song. In Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. So the Lord himself sings. So music is important. It's important, should be important to each and every one of us. But we just need to keep in our mind who it belongs to. It belongs to the Lord. He also demonstrates his dislike to music. In Amos 5:23, he says, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. The noise of thy songs. In other words, God calls it noise to him at that point.
Right.
When music is used wrong. Remember on Mount Sinai when Moses was up on the mountain? And God told him to go down, for thy people have corrupted themselves. He said he heard the sound of war in the camp. He was talking about the music. I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of that today. Sounds like war, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
And sadly, we see some of that in our churches today too. And I don't think God enjoys that whatsoever. I don't think it belongs in the church house. And our problem is today is that we go by our opinion rather than what Scripture says.
Right.
Yeah. See, you and I both know music has an effect on your body.
Right.
You play certain music, it can put you in certain moods.
Right.
You know. And so the flesh is susceptible to music. So we have to be very careful as to how we play and what we do with it. I'm going to tell you a little story about a young man I know. Matter of fact, he goes to this church. He still goes to this church. He's running around here somewhere this morning, I guarantee you. But he's always kind of argued with me about music, you know, because he likes to listen to certain types of music. And whatever it is, I always say, well, no, you need to listen to godly music because it affects your life. Well, he went to a different church. And I saw him the next day, and he apologized to me. He said, oh, you'd apology. He said, you were right. He said, and I thank God for Landmark. He said, I never thought I would say that I thank God for Landmark's music. He said, but I do. He went to a church where they played some of this new age stuff, and he said it literally made him sick. He said he couldn't wait to get out of the building. He wanted to get out of that building so bad. But folks, music has an effect on us. Hey, if you're a born-again believer, where's the temple? The body. Christ lives where? Inside. So when we put that garbage in our minds, that's not going to make the Lord happy. And we're not going to be happy because of that. Right. We're going to be happy when we're doing the things in serving God the way He has us to serve Him. So we have to remember that according to Scriptures, it demonstrates that music belongs to God. It belongs to Him. He created it for Him. And we know according to Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if He created music, it was perfect then, it's perfect today. I've had people say, well, all music's not perfect. No, all music's perfect. Man makes it imperfect.
Right.
God created the music. He created it right. He created it perfect. It doesn't need help. It doesn't need changing. Like anything else that God has anything to do with, it's perfect. Man makes things imperfect. We're also told to study Scriptures. In 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It does us some good to search out the Scriptures sometimes. If you have a question regarding music, look in your Bible. See what the Bible says about it.
Right.
And like I said, it's a long, drawn-out process. It's a lot of studying if you want to study out music. It's not something you can just turn to and pick up one scripture and run with it. It's a lot of study time that's involved in it. And we don't have time to do that today, nor do I probably have the knowledge to do that. But we need to put some things into spiritual order in the worldly of things. We need to feed our bodies. Let me give you an example. You got up this morning, you probably ate breakfast before you came to church. If you didn't, you're going to be hungry when we get out of here. You're going to go feed your body then, and you're going to feed it again tonight. If you get a chance, you're going to snack in between, and you're going to snack before you go to bed. We feed our bodies continuously. Well, how about our spirit? Do we feed our spirit continuously? That's the importance of us serving God. That's the importance of being in church. That's the importance of being here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And if you weren't here Wednesday night, you missed an awesome service.
Amen.
Well, we had a good time. I think everybody in here was tear-jerked and heartbroken. I mean, it was just a beautiful service. It was awesome. So if you weren't here, shame on you. But we need to feed our spiritual bodies just like we do our fleshly bodies. You know, we'll do everything in the world. We'll exercise. We'll go to the doctor. We'll take medications. We'll do everything we can to take care of this fleshly body. But when it comes to our spiritual body, we neglect it. If we were to take care of our spiritual body the same way we did our physical body, we would all be much better Christians. We would all be better people in general.
Right.
I mean, folks, the problem today is we're starving spiritually. And that pertains to every walk of our lives. It doesn't matter who we are or where we're from or anything else. We all need to feed ourselves. I had a visit with a young lady in the hospital. Oh, it just blessed my heart. She was had some heart problems, and I'm not going to say her name because I don't know whether or not she'd want me to. But she told me, she said, I'm going to tell you something. And I said, okay. She said, well, don't laugh at me. I said, well, I'm not. And she said that she had a little problem a little while back, and she, for 2 or 3 weeks, she was not able to read her scriptures. So she couldn't read her Bible. And she was in a place where they didn't have the radio, and if they did, they didn't have it on 90.3. So she couldn't listen to gospel. And she says when she's at home, she reads her Bible. She watches television to get all the spiritual shows that's on TV. She listens to 90.3 all the time. And she says she just became sick. She said it was just, she said her mind started to wander. She started to have evil thoughts. And she said, and I just prayed, God, please help me. And she asked me, she said, pray for me. She said, because I just feel weak. I just feel so weak. She said, I used to wake up every morning singing Joy to the Lord. She said, I've been singing some type of spiritual song every morning. And she said, I just feel like I've lost that. And that blessed my heart. You know, I'm talking to a woman here that studies her Bible daily. And what happened to her? When you took that spiritual food away, the flesh began to come forward. Now, see, a lot of us don't understand that because we've never had the flesh put back that far. We're living in the flesh every day. But what she lives with the Lord every day. She lives her life every day serving God. So everything, she feeds her spiritual soul continuously all day long. So she depresses that spiritual, that sin nature of the flesh. Because folks, I mean, you have to admit to yourself, I mean, honestly, you know as well as I do, we're just evil. And the flesh tends to take over everything if we allow it to. But by her studying her Bible every day, she's able to suppress that. She's able to push the flesh back where it needs to be and bring forth the things of God. Right. And that's where she lived every day. So when she was put into the hospital and she couldn't get those things, she began to starve spiritually. And to me, that was a blessing to know that she was so far advanced spiritually that it actually made her sick when she didn't get that. And I told her, I'm not laughing at you. I think that's great. I think that's awesome to see somebody that has a desire to study the things of God. And that's the way each and every one of us ought to be. I don't know about you. We have to remember and understand that Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, folks, that's where we're at every day. Every day of our life, we're in a spiritual battle every day. So we get up in the mornings and we don't prepare ourselves spiritually, how are we going to go out and face the world? We're trying to take on the things of the world in the flesh. We can't accomplish that. If we're going to accomplish things right and do things according to the way of the Lord, we have to feed ourselves spiritually. I don't know about you, but if it weren't for the things of God, I wouldn't make it. Right. I mean, I lived in the flesh for years and years and years. And sure, I got along fine in the world, but I wasn't happy. You know, if you want true happiness, serve God. Amen. You want true happiness? You know, I understand we're all busy. Everybody's busy. Get busy for God. Then you'll experience some true happiness. We're so busy for ourselves and so busy for the world that we don't get a chance to experience the things of God. Since I've been in full service of the Lord, I have never been happier in my life. I mean, it's just a joy to me. Going to the hospital, my wife would tell you, my mom would tell you, I hated the hospital. I didn't want to go visit anybody in the hospital. I'd go visit my dad when he was in there. Felt like I had to, but I loved him. You know, I wanted to see him, but I hated the hospital. My wife said the other day, she says, I can't believe you're in the hospital all the time. I said, I love it. Why? Because I love the people that's there. I get an opportunity to see God's people. Just like this blessed lady that I had the opportunity to spend time with the other day. That was a blessing to me. And I get to do this all the time. And I've learned to enjoy it. I've learned to love it. Hey, folks, when you get your heart right with God, He'll change your life. Right. But we got to first get into His service. We got to get busy with the things of God. And how do you do that when you got so much to do? You just do it. You make a decision that you're going to follow and serve God. And that's what you do. And you just push on forward with it. And you just keep on. I have a few examples listed here that affects us every day. I want you to keep in mind, think about your mind and how it functions and operates. Our brain is just like a computer, I think. Mine seems mighty slow. I got an old one. I got a dinosaur. But our mind's like a computer. It only knows what you feed into it. You take a computer, computers are smart, but they have to be programmed. Right. Somebody had to program them. Now, I was told computers learn today. I don't know. They may do. But it still had to be programmed. And you and I program our minds constantly, whether you know it or not. For example, in your reading, what are you reading? Are you reading a newspaper? I mean, that's what you're filtering, that's what you're putting into your mind. When you're reading books, whatever books you're reading, whatever novels you're reading, this is what you're putting into your mind. Or you're reading the Bible. You read the Bible, you put spiritual things into your mind. And then we have our music. We have DVDs, we have tapes, we have the internet, radio, even TV has music on it today. And whatever type of music that you're listening to, this is what you're pumping into your computer. You're pumping all this into your mind. You're filling yourself full of that. Your television, what do you watch? What are you watching on television? You're feeding this into your mind all day long. And you know well as I do, most radio stations is garbage. Most everything you see on television, including the news, is garbage. What have you become? Garbage. That's what's in your mind. You know, what you put into your computer is what you have. Sure, you have an intellect up here, you got an education that you hang on to. But still, the way we use it is because of the way we program it. And when we program all this garbage into our minds, and then we come to church on Sunday morning, took care of it. No. How many hours of programming have you fed garbage into your mind all week long? And then you come to church for 1 hour. And then this is the problem. This is the problem with the church today, folks. Let me tell you something. This is what they're saying. They say, well, I got it covered. I repented of my sins. I got everything straightened out with God. You know, I was in church 15 minutes last week. Got it all taken care of. You know where that comes from? That comes from the garbage that you're feeding into your mind. See, this is why our churches have gone playing all this contemporary music, because their minds are full of garbage. See, they can't get the things of God to the front where they need to be because they're not feeding themselves spiritually. We're constantly putting in the garbage, and that's what's going to come out. Our hearts can listen to that music, and it doesn't bother you because that's what you're used to. That's what you've put into your brain. So that's what you're used to listening to all the time. So you can listen to that music, and it doesn't harm you, or you think it doesn't. But that young man that went over there and listened to that music, it made him sick. So he didn't realize how much he was getting here at Landmark. He didn't realize what the Lord was putting in his brain while he was here. Sure, a lot of us sitting here asleep. We're still hearing it. It's still going into our brain. Right. You may be sleeping, but it's still going in. And we understand that some of us was up all night watching TV, and we get here and we're tired. Well, we've been feeding our minds full of trash all night, right? Hey, folks, you know, I'm making light of that, but we need to consider that for truth. We have become so corrupt in the way that we live our lives daily, we don't even see truth anymore. We can look at the Scripture, and God warns us about that in the Scriptures. Right here in the book of Job, if you remember the story here, Job basically was arguing with God about the things that was going on, the turmoil that was going on in his life. Now, we do know and understand that what was going on in Job's life was put there deliberately. Right. It was a battle between God and Satan. Job had done nothing wrong at the time. It was a battle between God and Satan. What Job done wrong was to question God. And you and I are the same way. You know, we have battles and struggles, whether it be music or something else. Everything depends on one thing: how much you love God. That's what it all comes down to. It doesn't matter what your problem is. If you have a problem listening to the worldly music, you say, well, you know, I don't think it hurts anything. That's because of what you've programmed into your mind. The truth of the matter is, are you willing to give it up? And that depends on how much you love God. That's what it depends on. Those TV shows that we just can't cut off. You know, what I think the pastor always says, as the world pukes or something like that, something comes on TV. I mean, hey, we can't put it down. It all depends on how much you love God. That's what it comes down to. Everything that we deal with every day. Job, in the instance of Job here, Job was caught in the middle of a battle between God and Satan. And a lot of us and a lot of the battles that we go through every day are the same thing. It's not necessarily because of something that we've done, but it's to glorify God. And we need to remember this. But our problem is we get into flesh so much. I mean, I see it around here all the time. We get into flesh so much. I mean, Christians are after Christians. It makes no sense. We're supposed to love one another. Every one of us need to look at Paul. I would like to ask every one of you to write a paper about Paul. What do you think about the Apostle Paul? Then every time you become discouraged about anything, read that paper. We need to understand that God loves each and every one of us. He loves the neighbor sitting beside you, regardless of how bad they are. Right. He loves them. And it's easy to get a hatred towards them. It's easy to feel that way. But we need to look at the truth of the scriptures. We need to look at what God says about it. And the same way with music. I can sit up here and I can tell you, is music moral, amoral? Is music right or wrong? I can give you the answers to that. And I can give you the answer to whatever music you listen to. I can tell you straight up whether it's right or wrong. Well, all you're going to do is argue with me. You're going to say, well, I don't believe that. I believe this. This is what I think. And that's the problem we all have. So I'm not even going to try to tell you whether or not your music's right or wrong. You know what you listen to. You know? It should be 90.3. Amen?
Amen.
You know what you listen to. And it's between you and God. But you need to ask God, what are you feeding in your brain through your music? What effect is that having on your life? And you say, well, it doesn't affect me. Why do you listen to it? Have you ever thought about that? If it doesn't affect you in any way, then what do you care? Why do you have to listen to that particular type of music? If it doesn't affect you and it doesn't matter to you and it doesn't bother you, then listen to 90.3. Because that's the pastor's radio station. Listen to that one. But see, we all want to say that it doesn't affect us and when we're just lying to ourselves, because we know it does. So we need to look at that, and then we need to look to the Lord and look to the scriptures, and you need to do a search on it for yourself. I mean, I can sit here and go through scriptures all day long, and we can never even get started on covering the roots of music. But I can tell you this, it affects your life. More importantly, it affects the lives of the ones around you. How about your children or your grandchildren? You know, we don't ever think about that. We think that our sin is our own little secret. It's between me and God, and nobody knows about it. You couldn't be more wrong. You go back to Joshua. There was sin in the camp, and who did it affect? It affected the whole, entire nation of Israel, didn't it? It affected everybody. When there's sin in the camp, it affects everybody. And just like right here among us, when there's sin in the camp, it affects everybody. It doesn't just affect you, but it affects us. It affects everybody. Why? Because of the way we put out ourselves, the way people perceive us, makes a difference to other people. We all need to be like that young lady that I visited in the hospital. We need to spend our days searching for the things of God. Hey, you can do it on your job. Turn the right radio station on. If somebody plays the wrong music, walk away from it. The things that you say, the way that you act, put a smile on your face. And I'm smiling all the time. This gravity's taking over, you know? I can't help that. I got fat jaws. My mama fed me too good. You need to just look at everything that you do every day of your life and try to walk in the ways of God. Keep His thoughts in your mind. And take your computer up here and fill it full of good. Fill it full of scriptures. Fill it full of godly music. Fill it full of love. And what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And you need to try to flush out, hey, we have to live in the world. We're stuck with it. We don't have an option until the rapture takes place and takes us out of here. We're stuck